Let's talk about ideas. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. When we learn languages, usually we learn the simple things first. We learn about a ball, a dog, a boy, cars, and then we learn colors. We learn our numbers. We learn a lot about objects and then actions. The dog is running. The boy is playing with the ball. We learn simple objects and simple actions, and that's a great way to get started. It's a great way to get a grip on the language, to develop some basic vocabulary from very simple input. But the problem with that is it won't serve you well if you would like to buy something in a store that you haven't studied, or if you would like to discuss some topic with a friend of yours that doesn't have anything to do with balls and dogs and cars. In other words, we need to be able to express ourselves in terms of ideas. The modern era, compared to ancient times, is heavily weighted to ideas. As I make these videos, I try to balance them. I try to make videos that are easy to understand. I speak a little slower. I try to speak very clearly. And the comment section where people leave me messages suggests that I have been relatively successful. People tell me in comments that they can understand what I am saying, but they have trouble understanding native content in English. If I have succeeded in that, this is fantastic because it is the goal. When I started acquiring Spanish and German, I couldn't understand native content, but I found videos, podcasts, audiobooks that I could use because they were a little slower and a little clearer. Also, the modern era allows us to be clever. If I am listening to a podcast, an audiobook, or watching a video, and I'm having trouble understanding it, the first thing I do is adjust the playback speed. Modern digital media allows one to do that without distorting the tone of the voice. In other words, it remains understandable. It doesn't get strange if you slow it down. So if I am trying to use native content for comprehensible input and it's too difficult, the first thing I do is slow it down. Give my brain a chance to analyze what I'm hearing and not just get run over. After I have slowed it down a little bit, maybe down to 80 or 85%, then I ask if I can understand it. If I can't understand it at that point, the problem is probably the vocabulary. The speaker is using a lot of words that I don't yet know. If there are only a few, we can figure them out by context, but if there are a lot of them and we can't understand the discussion or the story, then that content is not suitable for us. As I make these videos, I try to make a lot of different kinds of videos because that gives you variety, and people love variety, and it also gives you variety of vocabulary. If I'm talking about migratory butterflies or migratory birds, that gives you vocabulary that is related to those themes. If I'm talking about selling a car, that is an entirely different vocabulary. So the reasons that I make different kinds of videos are simple. I want a lot of variety to keep your interest, and I want variety to give you a very diverse vocabulary. And of course, we introduce vocabulary on this channel always in context. This isn't about memorizing word lists, no. I wish we could learn vocabulary effectively by memorization. It seems that that would be very efficient. Just make a list of words, commit them to memory, and then the next day start using them. The trouble is, my experience is that doesn't work. It just hasn't worked for me, and the research on that topic confirms that it just isn't a good way to acquire a language. So today I'd like to talk about some ideas. By introducing ideas, we have a new topic. You wonder what I'm going to say next. And also you get different vocabulary. So let's get started. You might notice there's a box here. It's just a little cardboard box. I used it in a previous video that talked about ideas, and the use of the box in that video was to talk about imagination. The question I posed was, what's in the box? If you show a box to people and imply that there's something in it, and then you ask those people what's in it, just imagine what's in the box, they will be able to come up with some suggestions. Maybe it's a baseball. Maybe it's a small ornament. Perhaps it's a pair of socks. It looks like it would be the right shape and size to hold a coffee cup. So people can use their imagination to estimate what might be in that box. And if they are really paying attention and playing this little game in earnest, they're not going to suggest that a television would be in there, or a chair, or a sofa. No, they're thinking in terms of something in that size. So their imagination is constrained by their common sense. In this video, I want to look at the box a little differently. Let's think outside the box. So where did that come from? The expression, thinking outside the box, is used for advice to us to not have our mind constrained by our assumptions. As we consider the human race, it's easy to conclude that humans are quite magnificent. We have been very successful over many centuries. We've built great civilizations. We have put people on the moon and brought them back alive. We currently have human beings in orbit around the Earth. We humans have also done some fairly terrible things, but I don't want to dwell on that because it doesn't contribute to our discussion of today's topic, which is thinking outside the box. Frequently we get advice, let's think outside the box. Where did that phrase come from? It came from a puzzle. The puzzle is called the 9-dot puzzle, and it starts with this. This is a 9-dot puzzle. There are 9 dots. They are arranged in 3 rows of 3, and they are completely symmetrical. The instructions that one gets with this puzzle are as follows. Connect all 9 dots with 4 straight lines without lifting your pen. As we look at that box and we try to do that, initially it's elusive. It's difficult to figure out. If we draw all around the periphery using the 4 lines, all straight, without lifting our pen, the middle dot, the one in the center, isn't crossed. If we start drawing in a fashion to include that middle dot, we run out of line segments because the puzzle limits us to 4 line segments, all connected and all straight. The way this puzzle is solved is by thinking outside the box. That is drawing our straight lines to project beyond the confines of that square, the box. In English, we often refer to a square in two dimensions as a box. That might be puzzling to some people. This is a three-dimensional box made out of cardboard. People have wooden boxes. One can certainly have a metal box. And these objects that I've just described are three-dimensional objects. But on a two-dimensional plane, a square is frequently called a box. For instance, if you have a checklist, you might have bullet points on the checklist corresponding to each of the things that you need to do. And when you accomplish one of your tasks, you can use your pencil and check the box. Now, you're not checking a three-dimensional box, you're checking a square. It's just the English language. We can't change it, so we might as well learn it, use it, and enjoy it. So without creating too much suspense, this is the solution for the 9-dot puzzle. You can see there are four straight lines. They're all connected. That is, we didn't lift the pen, but they went outside the confines of the box. And this is where that term comes from. Thinking outside the box allows us to solve the problem. So how did we get here? How did I come upon this topic? Well, I could simply say, I have to talk about something, but that's not really what's going on here. What's going on is the new year. 2026 is upon us. I made a video in late 2025 that explained why I don't make New Year's resolutions, but that was not to indicate that I passively live life without any planning, striving, or expectations. I want to make progress and enjoy life. There are a lot of things I really want, but I don't think that the New Year's resolution tradition as practiced in the United States is of any particular benefit to me. The stereotype in the United States is you make your New Year's resolution at the beginning of the year. Perhaps you join a gym or start exercising or start eating better. And within a couple of days, weeks, or months, all of that goes away. I want to look at things a little differently and ask myself, what do I want to do in 2026? What do I want to enjoy? What do I want to learn? Where do I want to go? And so I wanted to think outside the box. I wanted to overcome mental barriers that we and societies put upon us. Humans are very social animals. We are very influenced by what we see other people doing and what they tell us. In the 21st century, we are very influenced by social media. We're influenced by popular culture. And in every society on the planet, there are social norms. I'm not saying that social norms in various societies are bad, but in some cases, they represent barriers that don't have to limit us. I'll give you an example. In 1952, my dad graduated from medical school. In that year, 90% of the medical school graduates were men. About 10% were women. Around the same time, my mother-in-law, my wife's mother, graduated from medical school in the early 50s. It might have been 53 or 54. I'm not sure precisely what year it was. And I didn't think to ask my wife. So let's just say that it was roughly around the same time. My mother-in-law was one of those 10 percenters. She was doing something a little unusual. In the 1950s, nearly 95% of the surgeons in the United States were men. Very few female surgeons existed. But as of 2025, when the statistics were tabulated, 25% of the surgeons in the United States are women. That will rise as surgeons who were trained in the 50s, 60s, and 70s retire. The ratio of women and men, which used to be 95% men and 5% women, is going to rise and probably attain nearly 50-50 in years to come. So what do we call that process? One of the ways we describe that is breaking the glass ceiling. In the 1950s, it was difficult for women to get into medical school, and for decades afterward, it was difficult for women to get training positions in surgery. You could say that there was a glass ceiling. A glass ceiling is a metaphor. There's no structure that is real. It's a metaphor. But the reason they call it a glass ceiling is it's invisible. To this day, women and minorities frequently have trouble attaining positions of leadership or professional credentials. These are people who are qualified for advancement but can't compete with other people based on race and gender. When someone succeeds in spite of that problem, it is said that they broke the glass ceiling. The term is particularly apropos if it is referring to a pioneer in this effort to overcome the invisible barrier. There can be societal barriers to things that we might want to embrace, but there also can be psychological barriers that we have in our own thought process. In life, we all develop assumptions based on what we've been taught, what we see around us, and our experiences. Now, this topic about our own assumption, our own psychological limitations, is very pertinent to language learning. Think about it. When we were in school, if they tried to teach us a language, they taught us about the language. They taught vocabulary and grammar. And the results of that kind of language learning for most students are quite poor. Most people find purely studying grammar and vocabulary boring, and they don't have any motivation to stick with it. This is where comprehensible input shines. Really, comprehensible input was thinking outside the box. Stephen Krashen and other investigators looked at the problem of poor student performance in the long run with those teaching methods. Initially, language teachers thought that perhaps they just needed better material, better diagrams, better exercises. A lot of language teachers busied themselves trying to make this magically better content, but they were stuck with the original idea of teaching purely grammar and vocabulary. Comprehensible input could be described as people thinking outside the box. They released their dependence on old ideas of just teaching grammar and vocabulary and embraced the idea that our brain actually is pretty good at acquiring new language. After all over the world, babies are born, and within a few short years, they're all fluent, and not one of those babies went to school to study grammar and vocabulary. They picked it up from their parents, their siblings, their neighbors, etc. I don't think you could find a 3-year-old on the planet who has studied grammar. However, 3-year-olds as they are talking, use amazingly good grammar. By the time they're ready to go to school, children use excellent grammar. People were thinking outside the box. I am thinking outside the box. Being of a certain age, living in the United States, particularly people living in the United States, the expectation of society, and initially, on my part, was that learning a language at this certain age is an absurdity. It can't be done. I'm too old. I missed the boat. I missed the opportunity. But it's simply not true. People of any age can learn a new language, even a difficult language like English or Chinese. Sure, there are challenges, but there is no real barrier. If we want to learn a new language, we just need to do it. We need to think outside the box. A similar story comes up in my life and this YouTube channel. 5 years ago, it would have never occurred to me to start a YouTube channel. It wasn't my way. It made no sense. I wouldn't want to plop myself down in front of a camera and record myself doing anything. It just was not in my nature. My expectations at that time were simple. I would never do such a thing. It's absurd. And yet, here today, I am sitting here talking to you through a camera. I have referred to the camera as the one-eyed monster. As I look in your direction, I just see the lens. I see the little indicator that my voice is being recorded by my wireless microphone, but I'm just talking to this one-eyed monster, the camera. I would have never thought in a million years that I would have a YouTube channel. Having a YouTube channel created a couple of unintended consequences. I'll give you two examples. One, when I was a young professional, in order to have credibility or gravitas, I wanted to look older. Very young appearing professionals don't tend to be regarded well by society. They think in terms of somebody older, perhaps with a little gray hair, someone with experience. So early in my career, I wanted to look older rather than younger. It wasn't a big deal, but it was a thought process that I consciously embraced, and so I dressed the part. I wore bow ties or regular straight ties. I dressed professionally, and I chose glasses that I liked that had no rim. They fit my expectations of what a professional should look like. I wore rimless glasses for years. Fast forward to 2024, when I started this YouTube channel, I was making videos like this wearing those glasses. And then I had the unenviable task of editing my own videos. And it occurred to me as I watched the videos that I looked older than my actual age. The glasses had to go. I actually tried some different eyeglasses frames. I had some reading glasses, and they had all sorts of different frames. And I made some videos, and then I thought, enough's enough. So I went to the medical facility and got a proper eye exam so that I could buy new glasses. My prescription changed a little bit, not too much. And then I went to a store in San Francisco that sold eyeglasses frames. I selected that store from the internet. I liked their ads. Their ads had been popping up between my videos. And I thought, those are good-looking glasses. So I went onto their website. They had a location in San Francisco on Fillmore. So I thought, wow, that's perfect. I like Fillmore. That's a district that's really fun to visit. So I went up to Fillmore and went into their store. I had created some screenshots from my videos with different glasses frames. I presented the evidence to the lady who manages that store, and she looked at me and she looked at the screenshots. She listened politely to my explanation and she said, "I've got this. Come with me." She tried glasses on me and let me look in the mirror. She also opined. She put a pair of glasses on and said, "No." The next set. And after trying perhaps 6 or 8 glasses frames, she said, "That's it. That's the one." I looked in the mirror and they were these glasses. I had a consultant. I had an eyewear fashion consultant. I had subcontracted my appearance to an expert. So the decision was made. Worrying about how I looked was not something I put a lot of effort into, but the experience of having a YouTube channel, it was a topic that came to mind and I responded. I got some help, and that's why these glasses are here. The other thing I noticed when I was editing my videos that bothered me is that my teeth were crooked. Now, when I was a kid, my parents had all of us in the family, all the kids, go to the orthodontist. And I think all of us, at least most of us, got braces. Back when I was a kid, braces were metal bands that were cemented around each tooth. And then the braces, these bands, were connected with an arch bar. The orthodontist would adjust the tension on the teeth by putting subtle bends into this spring stainless steel arch bar and then wiring it in place. I can remember having braces for years, and they really interfered with me playing the tuba. I had difficulty. Also, socially, those kind of braces were not great. Some kids were bullied, and they were called metal mouth, for instance. Luckily, braces were common enough that we really didn't consider them a stigma. The trouble is, after having braces as a teenager, I did nothing, and the tendency is for the teeth to go back to their old position. They regress to the position they were in. So when I started the YouTube channel and I'm making videos like this, I edited my videos and noticed that my teeth were really crooked. For more than a year, I simply accepted that. I figured, you know, I'm of a certain age, I've got crooked teeth, and that's just the way they're gonna be. But during that same time, I was going to a dentist selected for us by my wife, who's a really good dentist. And he was doing routine dental care, and he never mentioned that my teeth were crooked. He figured that I already knew that. However, in his office, they had some rather tasteful and subtle displays of a technology that he offers as part of his dental care called Invisalign. Invisalign is a company. I think they're based in the U.S., but they have business all over the world, not likely in every country, but they are widely dispersed. And they're a different way of doing orthodontal care with improvement of materials, plastics in particular. We can now have teeth moved around with some fairly sophisticated braces that are not metal bands and hand-bent arch wires. Digital technology and computer science had to develop in parallel with material science to create this magnificent technology. Invisalign is a brand name, and it's one of many companies that offer this kind of service. So late in 2025, when I was in the office, in the dentist's office, for a routine visit, I simply asked the question. He knew how old I was. He knew I was no longer a 40-year-old. And I said, "Would it be reasonable to do Invisalign? Would that be beneficial to me in any way, or would it just be cosmetic? He said, no, it would be very beneficial. You would probably be able to develop better oral hygiene. He stopped short of pushing the idea, but his response was very positive. I talked to his staff and looked at the price. It was not cheap, but if you amortize that cost over years, perhaps decades, it seemed reasonable. So, last week, after some preparatory visits where they do digital scans and measurements, the Invisalign trays were available. Last week, I started Invisalign to straighten out my teeth. These trays are funny. They are, as the name implies, nearly invisible. You can't tell that I'm wearing braces. They don't really show up, but they are there. The first couple of days, they were a little uncomfortable, but I didn't need to take Tylenol or anything for the pain. It was just noticeable, no hardship. One needs to wear these things 22 hours a day or more, and that has been an interesting challenge. I usually eat 3 meals a day and do so at a fairly leisurely pace. It's easy to exceed that 2 hours not having the trays in. I have to plan my meals a little better, and there is no snacking between meals because it would be too much trouble. If one were to have a snack, it would be necessary to remove the trays, brush the teeth, wash the trays, and reinstall them. The way I understand it, this is a 6-month process. 6 months of fiddling with the trays, keeping track of them, a lot of toothbrushing, but I think it will be worth it. Thus far, these trays tend to interfere a bit with my ability to play the tuba. I'm not sure I can adapt to that. We will find out. If I take the trays out and try to play the tuba, that doesn't work at all, because in order for these trays to be properly anchored, they have attached little bumps to several teeth so that the tray can get a grip. And those bumps are pretty sharp and they're in the wrong place if I wanted to play the tuba. So I may be able to adapt, or I may take a hiatus from playing the tuba. I may stop playing for 6 months. So that is a discussion today about thinking outside the box. We talked about a lot of ideas. This business of getting my teeth straightened in 2026 is a 6-month project, and I'm not going to dwell upon it. I'm not going to give you weekly updates, but when it's all over, we can recap in a video, I'm sure. I have other projects that I have started for 2026, but I don't want this video to be super long. I just wanted to introduce the idea of thinking outside the box, breaking societal or psychological barriers that can constrain us so that we can do things that are perhaps a little unexpected or a little unconventional. I hope you have subscribed to the Input English channel. If you have not, please hit that subscribe button. It's right here and it's free. It helps a lot. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.